from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is the Talk of Chicago, of course, as you know, and this is America's Heroes Group, and we are pleased to be here, and we have a special show for you today. America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office is 312-781-1977. And I am the host, our web social media producer, Manna Corazzari, is with us. And, of course, our executive producer, Glenda Smith, is with us. Our regular roundtable panelists are not here today because we have sort of a special show, so we want you to... of course, understand that. And before we get into it, I just want to say how great it was to hear Eddie Reed earlier coming into, he's got the hour, 2 hours before America's Heroes Group, and he was just doing a great job. Known Eddie for years, and he was bringing back some great memories, of course. And, of course, Lou Palmer was on WVON for years, and it's just great to think about that. It's a wonderful thing. So we want to talk about Black History Month and the military. And we have our guest who's supposed to be calling in. He's not here yet. Hopefully he's not on the line at this point. Hopefully he'll come on because the we need to – he's got – something to really tell us about Black History Month while he was in the military. listening to the Dr. King, I Have a Dream speech while he was in the military, which is, of course, a very interesting thing in itself. But there's a lot going on, and, you know, since we have been here last, there's been a number of things going. State of the Union address, you know, our commander-in-chief and so forth, and we're still unaware yet as to what's going to happen. Hope we're not going to have another situation where we're going to close down the government. I understand that the Republicans and the Democrats seemingly are reaching some accommodation, but the thing that they don't know, and this is the interesting part, is whether the commander-in-chief, that's the president, whether he will sign it or not. So at this point, we're not sure of that. But we certainly hope that it will be worked out and won't have to go through another situation that happened a couple of weeks ago, which, of course, we talked about while it was going on. So hopefully that will work out, so because it's a very unfortunate thing. So let's go to our guest. We are so pleased to have him. He is Dr. Conrad Wuerl.
Hey, Brother Cliff.
Hey, Dr. Wuerl. How are ya? Good, good.
All right, Brother Cliff. How you doing?
I'm doing
Now, you know, I will only do this for you. I didn't want nobody to know my veteran's background, okay? Now, you know you're throwing me under the bus.
You know, Doc, you knew I knew it. You know, I knew your background. You know that. You know, we go way back, you know?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and I just appreciate it. I know you don't like to push this, but I couldn't think of anybody better to compare being in the military during Black History Month, because, you know, there are few people who know about Black History Month than Dr. Conrad Wuerl, so I just thought that was a good mix. So tell us about this, please.
Well, first of all, you know, to the listening audience, people get a little, there's some misinformation going around. Okay, so Dr. Woodson was in Chicago in 1915, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, and he lived at the Wabash YMCA. Mm-hmm. And the Wabash Y had only been in existence 2 years, and this Dr. Woodson had recently earned his PhD from Harvard in 1912. So he came to Chicago to participate in some conferences, and one of them was a conference on history at the University of Chicago. So if you can imagine Woodson walking Cliff up 39th to 39th in Wabash, down Pershing, up Drexel Boulevard to the University of Chicago, and the people who were running the conference, Robert Park and others who were professors at the USC, told him that Black people didn't have any history. We had folklore. So, of course, this incensed Dr. Woodson. And as fate would have it, sitting around in the cafeteria of the Wabash Y during the time he stayed, he happened to interact with some like-minded people who were interested in studying the history and contributions of not only Black people to this country, but to the world. And out of this, they decided to create an organization in the cafeteria of the Wabash Y in 1915, the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History. Then the following year, Dr. Woodson moved to D.C., set up the national headquarters. And then several years later, about 10 years later in 1926, as a programmatic action of the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, they launched what was called Negro History Week. So Negro History Week, as a programmatic idea, did not come out of the Wabash Y. But the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History was established by Woodson and others at the Wabash Y. But the actual, what we now know as African American History Month, that started with Negro History Week in 1926. And by the way, Woodson always knew that this was a tactical maneuver to try to encourage our people to study our history 365 days a year. So in this month, we try to affirm what we've been doing for 364 days. That is, studying our history and the great contributions of African people in the world throughout the year. So that's my commercial. Okay.
And your commercial is great. It's just a,
so having said that, so Cliff, so as it relates to your program, uh-huh. I was a little hardhead who didn't get a draft card. So I didn't know that you had to get a draft card, and if you didn't get one, they would come and get you. So, I thought I was going to be a conscientious objector. So one day I was living at 7603 Vernon, and I was into what I was into at that time at a young man, mm-hmm. and the military police knocked on the door. So I ended up going down to Van Buren. I believe that was the Army Induction Station.
615 West. You got it.
Right. Yeah. And I was brought before a judge who said that I had an option to go to the left, which was the federal penitentiary for 2 years, or go to the right and be sworn in to the United States Army. I went to the right. I was sworn into the United States Army, and by that evening, May 4th, 1962, I was inducted into the United States Army, and by the early morning, May 5th, I was at Fort Knox, Kentucky. So I did my basic training there, and as fate would have it, they relocated me in my duties to Okinawa. I said, I'll be dumb. First, I don't want to be in here. Number two, they want to send this little Negro child over to Okinawa. Where in the hell is Okinawa? Well, Okinawa is 12,000 miles from the United States. We went over on a ship and in China from Oakland overseas, replacing the station on one of the old ships with thousands of troops, and we stopped in Honolulu, Hawaii, and Yokohama, Japan, and Incheon, Korea, and we finally ended up after 23 days on a ship on Okinawa. So here I am, Cliff. I'm just too through. But as time went on, I think that the military checked me and got me in order. I don't admit this to anybody because I was kind of wild, Cliff. But
I know you well enough to think that there's some truthfulness with that.
So here we are on this island. I'm getting letters from my parents, and my mother is sending me clippings of the movement unfolding in the United States called the Civil Rights Movement. Mm-hmm. Now we're moving into 1963. Mm-hmm. And the military had a military newspaper. I don't know if you remember this, Cliff. Stars and Stripes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember
right.
that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so in Stars and Stripes, yeah. they would have some information about what was going on in the world and back home mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. And so I began to see from Stars and Stripes and from the correspondence I was receiving from my family, my mother and father, and other people, that there was some march that Martin Luther King was calling, and people were mobilizing for what we know as the March on Washington. Now, here I am, away from the action, wanting to be back home to participate in such an historic event, but I'm on Okinawa,
yep.
in the Army, a private, okay? This is too much. So my head is spinning, and now I'm really beginning to really just, oh, I wish I could be back home to participate in this great demonstration that was being promoted to be a major historical event for black people, demanding the civil rights legislation be passed, the Montgomery bus boycott and all the actions that were taking place in the civil rights movement back in the U.S. Well, I knew a brother who worked in communications and shortwave radio, and I went to him and I said, hey, brother, can you figure out how we can listen to this March on Washington? So he worked on it for a week or so, however long, I don't remember all the details. And I organized the black dudes in my barracks, about 10 or 11 of us, and we actually heard the March on Washington on a shortwave radio on Okinawa sitting outside my barracks.
Isn't that something?
Now, wait a minute, Cliff.
Uh-huh.
In addition to that, I don't know if you recall, on August 27, 1963, the great scholar W.E. Du Bois made his transition and passed on to eternity in Accra, Ghana. The night before the March on Washington, August 28, 1963. So that's my military story. I could go on and on about the military, which I don't really want to today, but I was a project.
That is a great story, though, Doc. It really is. You know. How long did you stay in the military?
I was in for 2 years.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Cliff,
mm-hmm.
You know, let me just tell you, I didn't want to be in the military. Okay, I set that up. So after basic training, first of all, they were trying to recruit me to go to OCS. I don't want to be an officer. I don't want to be here.
They knew of your intelligence. Certainly.
Wait a minute. Why are they messing with me? Why don't they just kick me out of this thing? So anyway, I got sent to clerical school, and it's a type, learning how to type. Are y'all crazy? So anyway, I hate to admit this, but I'll tell you the story, Cliff. I paid a dude to go to school for me. Because I didn't want to go.
Oh, my goodness.
So listen to this, Cliff. After 8 weeks, I was assigned 7-11-20 because I passed the exam. Okay?
Okay.
Because this other guy took the exam for me. I'm really admitting some way-out stuff here today. So here
sure
I get over to Okinawa, and I was supposed to be a 7-11-20. That was my military occupational
specialty. Yes, your
MOS.
Your MOS, that's right.
All right, private world.
Yeah.
So we get over to Okinawa. I'm in this unit with all these white boys who've been to college and all this. And we're assigned to the United States Ryukin headquarters, USIRIS. And I'm assigned to this white bird colonel. And he gave me a dress uniform. These are the headquarters for the Far East for the United States Army. And I'm up in the headquarters assigned to a colonel in my dress uniform. So the first day on the job, he gives me something to type. And obviously, I say to myself, busted. So after about 10 or 15 minutes, this colonel came out and then said, soldier, he was from the South.
Mm-hmm.
He said, soldier, I think you've been bull crapping the United States Army, and I've seen soldiers like this before. Now, let me tell you, I'm going to give you a chance.
I got to tell you, you have told us the story about, which is just amazing, how you were able to hear Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech under those circumstances. And I never thought we'd get you to come in, to call in, I should say, and talk about this, notwithstanding the fact that it's Black History Month. So
yes, sir.
I just want to thank you so much for giving us all that good information, Doc. You know.
Okay, because I was getting ready to tell you, I finally learned how to type, and I worked for this colonel for 19 months.
And you've been doing that ever since. You know?
Yes, sir. That's the
thank
point.
Thank you so much. Okay.
All right, Cliff.
All right.
All right, Doc.
Thanks, Doc.
All right.
Thank you so much. Okay. Appreciate it. Now, we are so pleased to have back in our studio Dr. Mark M. Wyman, who, of course, you might remember, United States Military Academy West Point graduate in 1971, and get this, degree in general engineering. And he's just done
Cliff, let me interrupt just for a second. It was touch and go. It was touch and go. I've got to be honest.
It's good to see you. But the reason I bring that up, I have to, general engineering, because you end up, of course, going to a dental school in Philadelphia. You have your degree in dentistry.
That is correct.
Right.
That is correct.
I've known some dentists who were engineers. I don't think they went to dental school.
Well, Dr. Zager, who's my guest, will verify. Dentistry has a lot to do with balancing forces, which is certainly a fundamental principle of engineering. And so there is a correlation.
Well, we're so glad that Dr. Zager's here. Tell us, Dr. Wyman, why don't you introduce him for us?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Cliff, you and Manuel have seen me on the program before, mm-hmm. and we were trying to talk and convince the population in this country of the tremendous correlations between dental health and medical health. And I was prepared to come on the show, and I was fortunate enough to be invited to hear Dr. Zager speak to myself and a lot of our contemporaries downtown Chicago, and I was blasted away. I thought I was really on top of this issue, the correlation between medical and dental, and Larry has taken this principle and run with it. I am terribly respectful of Dr. Zager. In addition, I'm terribly respectful of Dr. Zager because for many, many years downtown, I've practiced oral surgery in addition to being a general dentist. And Dr. Zager has always been there to cover for me in case things didn't go exactly the way I wanted. So this is just one more example where he's covering for me. He's a very special professional. Dr. Zager, I'm going to talk. I've talked a little bit about Dr. Zager. I want to get into some specifics about how there are tremendous correlations between medicine and dental health. And one point that Larry brought up when we listened to him this week was the opioid problem that we presently have in our country. Larry, you want to expound upon that a little bit?
First, let me welcome you. Thank you so much, Doctor, for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me. A few days ago, I gave a CPR course, and one of the things that has really hit throughout the United States and in our community is the drug overdose of young teenagers, middle America, and even in the elderly. It has become a tremendous problem, and one of the major difficulties is that I am seeing people that come to me as an oral surgeon for the removal of their wisdom teeth, and I find out that they were in rehab for cocaine or heroin. And I'm about to do something that may be difficult but also may be painful for a few days, and I have to possibly prescribe an opioid. But if they're in drug rehab, I do not want to give them another relapse after they may have tried very hard and at expensive care in some cases and fail and go back to the use of drugs. The biggest problem that we do have is that sometimes dentistry will prescribe the narcotics, and we are now trying to use other forms of medication to control sometimes where a person might have a painful response or a procedure done that might require a day or two and then could maybe resort to something else. So the American Dental Association is trying very hard to limit the use or restrict or, in a lot of cases, try other methods to control pain. And we are using different medications, and that's what I'm trying to make people more aware of. At the CPR course, I had about 50 dentists and their staff members. And instead of prescribing narcotics, we can go back to using Motrin, Advil, or Aleve in combination with acetaminophen or Tylenol. Just remember, though, that Tylenol also, you have to watch the dose. Some people take extra strength Tylenol, which can be 525 milligrams in at each prescription dose. But in 24 hours, we're supposed to limit it to under 3,000 milligrams. Otherwise, we can cause liver damage.
when we use Motrin, Advil, or Aleve, if a person has ulcers or has high blood pressure, they may not be able to take that because that may upset or cause another bleeding ulcer over a period of short time and also raise their blood pressure. So we have to monitor and be very careful of the side effects of other drugs as well. But one of the drugs that is a favorite is and was forgotten and has been brought back is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug called Toradol. It can be safely used for 5 days. It's stronger than Motrin, Advil, Aleve for those procedures that might require for a day or two someone taking something stronger without being a narcotic.
Doctor, we're going to take a quick break, all right? When we come back, you continue that, please, all right? Dr. Zager is with us. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. This is America's Heroes Group. Stay with us. And, of course, our number is 773-591-1690. We'll be back.
Talk radio that makes you think. You're listening to the Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation, 1690 WVON.
America!
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon. It's 4:33 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and of course, this is America's Heroes Group, and our number is 773-591-1690. You just, of course, were listening to Dr. Zager, and we're going to continue with him in just a moment, but right now we're going to go back to Dr. Wyman, who is going to give us an update on H.R. Bill 4556.
Thanks, Cliff.
You're welcome.
When you guys were kind enough to bring me on the show last time, we were trying to get H.R. 4556 through Congress and passed by the president.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we didn't get it done before Congress ended.
Indeed. Mm-hmm.
And I guess the rules are when Congress ends, the bill terminates and
right.
You've got to
start over
again. Mm-hmm. And we have seen so many people stand up and do such tremendous work. Now the bill has a different name. It's H.R. 96. We had 29 congresspeople sign on to H.R. 4556. Now we have 36 people that have signed on to H.R. 96 in only a matter of a couple of weeks. Mm. I think one of the things that's deterred a lot of our congressional leaders from signing on to the bill, which fundamentally provides more dental care to the veterans in the VA system, is people are afraid of the cost. They're afraid it's going to cost so much to give a little bit more dental care in the VA system. And the fight that we're conducting is based upon the principle, well, if we can give the veterans a little bit more dental care in the VA system, fundamentally we're going to be saving a heck of a lot of money. Because if we can give them more dental care to take care of their gums, maybe we can cut down on the amount of cardiac problems we have, which is just a terribly costly problem in all types of medical care delivery. Maybe we can cut down on the number of malignancies that are occurring, which is just a terribly costly proposition. Maybe we can cut down on the people that need heavy-duty treatments for type 2 diabetes, which is a terribly costly proposition. And a lot of people are buying into it. We've had various congresspeople stand up, including one of our local congresspeople, stand up and write letters to the other members of Congress.
Good.
Let's move forward with this bill. And one of the reasons we're fortunate enough to have Larry here, he can expound upon a lot of these correlations between dental and medical.
Right.
And how we can save money by cutting down, just by taking care of the mouth, cutting down the number of cardiac problems, malignancy problems, diabetic problems. One thing Larry and I were talking about before we came in here, there is a tremendous correlation between sleep deficit and medical problems. This is another area we can look to. Larry, you want to move forward on this?
Sure. Recently in the past maybe 5 to 8 years, a lot of research that's been evidence-based, meaning it's been statistically proven, instead of estimating or guessing as to what treatments can work to improve sleep. It's very important that adults get somewhere between 7 and 8 hours of sleep. Adults, as we get older, we may become more overweight or obese, and in some cases our airway gets blocked. And there are some devices that can be applied in dental appliances to bring the jaw forward or bring the tongue forward, and teaching the person how to breathe properly through the nose and make sure that there is room for the tongue, as well as checking for the tonsils and see if the person's tongue-tied, that can improve their sleep quality and have lower blood pressure, maybe less stress and need less anxiety medication, more ability to concentrate at work, less sick time off, as well as not have to require an anti-anxiety drugs or antidepressants. So these are all very, very important, especially for some of the soldiers that come back with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I wanted to bring up, you have a lot of knee, hip, joint replacements for the men and women that are injured. Well, when there are infections in the mouth, it's been shown that oral bacteria can infect those joints too later on. And this is something that we like to concentrate as well.
You know, that's amazing that the dental problems can have effect on anything in your body, seemingly.
Cliff,
yeah.
I was fortunate enough to go out to lunch day before yesterday with three of my friends going back way, way back into the future, into the past, when we were all about 18 to 22 years old. And these three fellas all were very good athletes in school. And now we're getting on in years, and they've all had issues with their joints. One of the gentlemen was a skier. He's having trouble with his hands. Another gentleman was a pole vaulter, and he was good, which means that he came down from a very high height. And now he's having trouble with all of his joints. Another gentleman was a wrestler, and I don't have to go into and expand upon that.
Sure.
It really puts a lot of stress on the joints. These people, when they have major orthopedic surgical procedures done, they have to be covered with antibiotic. Also, a lot of medication can cause complications in terms of healing. Larry, you want to expound upon bisphosphonates?
Yes. Many people that are with cancer, metastatic cancer, are given bisphosphonate drugs to prevent the cancer from spreading throughout the skeletal bones. And the problem is it works great in that capacity. However, it destroys the bone and the teeth. And if a person has implants or has natural teeth and needs an extraction or has periodontal disease and the tooth is extracted, the jawbone may not heal properly and the person can have an infection into the sinus or end up losing several more teeth in over a period of time. And as the oncologist would say, you know, I'm trying to save this person's life. I don't care about the teeth. Well, unfortunately, I can understand that perspective, but the person who is maybe on the medication may have a miserable problem eating, speaking, swallowing, and can't wear a prosthesis or ends up losing extensive crown and bridge or implant work that's been done in it over the years.
You know, this is do people recognize this? We know that the Congress ran out of time. We know that. And, of course, as you mentioned, Mark, you know, the start over now is now H.R. 96. But do you think that most people even realize the situation?
We're so fortunate because this is an education process. And people like you, Cliff, and Glenda, and Manny, are giving us an opportunity to present and show the people what's out there. I am absolutely convinced once the people see the literature, they're going to really give encouragement to their congresspeople, their leaders, to pass this bill because it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gary Sinise once said, there is nothing we should not do to take care of our veterans after they have stood to defend our freedom. I back what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely convinced that the great majority of our citizens will stand and support this bill if we can spread the word. And thank you very much for giving us the opportunity.
I agree with that, Doc, if they knew exactly how serious.
Absolutely. There's another issue, too, diabetic conditions. So much in the literature, and Larry brought this up in the continuing education course that he gave us. So many diabetic conditions are exacerbated by inflammation in the mouth, by poor teeth, by gum infections. Diabetic conditions, I don't think people really understand the wide range of medical complications that are sequela of diabetic conditions, particularly type 2 diabetic conditions.
That's correct. But the other thing that needs to be realized is that with the progression of diabetes over the years, person is more prone to lose their kidney function, may need a kidney transplant, or have a heart attack, high blood pressure, and they can't get their diabetes under control. Well, when we take care of the teeth situation, a lot of times they can get it under control, and it's a very simple thing to do. And more internal medicine people are starting to see this. Oncologists are starting to see this. One of the worst things I had happen to me a couple of years ago is when I had a woman, a physician at the University of Illinois, diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, and they wanted to start her on chemo right away. And she had several ignored teeth, abscessed teeth, and we couldn't start it right away. We needed to get the teeth out and let her heal before the chemotherapy. And that delayed treatment almost a month, and that was very important with her cancer situation. So people don't, and here's a physician, and she didn't even realize this. So it helps. It's a very simple thing, routine maintenance and taking care of, as well as detecting oral and now a new cancer, oral pharyngeal, HPV cancer. The dentists pick up this. The hygienists and dentists see this right away. And another thing, when they're seeing the patient two or three times a year for routine hygiene checkups, they notice lesions on the scalp, on the face. Is it a melanoma? Is it squamous cell carcinoma? They pick this up. They see the patient. They notice changes, and they notify to have them contact their primary care provider and say something's wrong or should we see the dermatologist. We pick this up all the time. Thyroid cancer, I mean, it's just routine for us. This is what we check for in the head and neck exams.
You know what?
Well,
what Larry just brought up, sometimes I'm a little bit slower and it takes me a while. Somebody mentioned when doctors or dentists examine the patient, there are signs and there are symptoms. And signs are what the healthcare professional sees in the patient. And I remember I went to a restaurant not too far from where we're sitting today, and a lot of the politicians in town were there, and we were discussing this particular issue. And one of the aldermen was there, who I'm sure we all know. Mm-hmm. He's been in for over 20 years in the Bridgeport neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Right out of high school, this gentleman joined the Marine Corps and very soon thereafter went to Vietnam. And when he went to Vietnam, he volunteered and he went through the appropriate training and he went on what are called long-range patrols. In other words, mm-hmm. you go behind the enemy lines
right. And
you have to be quiet and you can't get resupplied, because if you get resupplied, the bad people can see the supplies coming in and they find out where you are. And when they were doing their mission, it would go on for days at a time, and sometimes they'd run out of food.
Mm-hmm.
When they ran out of food, they were expedient. They knew they had to eat. There would be fresh running water. They would fish, and they would get fresh fish, and it was delicious, and they would eat the fish. 20, 30, 40 years later, it's coming out that the parasites that existed in these fish have existed in the insides, in the bladders, and in the stomachs of these veterans, and are now turning into bladder cancer and pancreatic cancer. If a doctor could look at some of these people and maybe get the history, they could put them on very simple medications that could kill the parasites. If the doctors could look at these people and look at the sclera mm-hmm. of their eyes mm-hmm. and see the yellowish coloration, they would see something is going wrong in the bladder, and they can take intervention to try and cure them before it becomes really severe.
Now, these stories, Doc, have they been made in committee in Congress? Are these the sort of thing that these committee people ought to be hearing?
Cliff, I think we're moving forward on that. I also saw in the newspaper a person escaped from North Korea. And I saw in the picture they were shooting at him, but he was able to make it across the river, and we were able to recover him.
Mm-hmm.
We went ahead and gave him a thorough physical. And when we gave him the physical, we found the parasites that I was mentioning to mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. in his systems. Supposedly these parasitic invasions run rampant in some of these foreign countries. We were able to intervene and help out this gentleman. If they're not in front of congressional committees after programs like yours, they will be.
Mm-hmm.
People want to do the right thing. I'm going to quote from Animal House, knowledge is good. Let's get the word out.
Sure.
People will do the right. I'm convinced. People will do the
right.
I
am too, because, you know, what you are telling me and our audience is something that we absolutely have, you know, we have no knowledge of. And I don't think anybody, whether you're a veteran or not, would want to see this sort of thing continue without it being abated in some way. And we can certainly do that, obviously, with the bill.
No question.
Yeah.
I had a chance to call Washington, D.C., and the head lobbyist for the Dental Association was a 30-year veteran of the Air Force, Colonel
right.
Frank Kyle.
Okay.
And Colonel Kyle says, Wyman, I'm going to have to work really hard because cost is a big issue. Everybody's concerned
sure.
about the debt.
Right.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we've got to lay this out. We've got to lay it out with knowledge and show them how we can save some money.
This is going to save money. That's right.
No question sure. in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
to get a bypass surgery, the cost is astronomical. If we could deal, and many years ago we used to think a lot of cardiac problems were mostly caused by cholesterol. Now, Larry, correct me if I'm wrong, C-reactive proteins are an implicating factor that a lot of people are looking at. Inflammatory processes are symptoms that a lot of people are looking at.
That's correct. The autoimmune, whether it be rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, irritable bowel, ulcerative colitis, all these are interrelated. 9-10 years ago, I was at a conference, and there was a man from the National Institute of Health trying to figure out how a knee got infected with oral bacteria and it never had an open joint procedure. And he found oral bacteria, and he was doing a study. He had over 200 cases like this, and he was trying to figure out what was the pathogen or how did this happen. And now a lot of orthopedic surgeons have, before all dental procedures, have them covered by antibiotics for life to prevent a second, another surgery to replace the worn or infected prosthesis. And that costs a lot of money to do that and a lot of recovery for the patient.
One thing I know Dr. Zayer knows better than I ever will, but I've heard this from many professionals like Larry and physicians and surgeons. If you have to redo a procedure, it's much more difficult than the one that was done the first time. You have to deal with all the scar tissue and stuff like this. So if inflammation causes the initial joint replacement to fail and they've got to redo it, it's going to be much more challenging for the professional to get a good result. I'm in a position now with my professional life. Most of my patients are a little bit older. They followed me for many years.
Mm-hmm, sure.
A lot of my patients participated in a lot of athletics. My office is located downtown. A lot of the professionals that I refer to are close to where I practice. Northwestern is very close to where I practice. And I caught a call from one of the transplant surgeons, and he said, Wyman, what are you specializing in my patients? Because I always have to call and get permission before I do something for these people because I don't want to hurt them. Like Larry alluded to, if I work and I'm not covering them properly, I'm going to cause them more trouble than any good I can possibly deliver to them.
I got you. I tell you, it's an amazing thing. In addition to this, though, Mark, you ran for Congress.
Cliff, that is true. And I've got to tell you, I was honored to run for Congress. Can I tell you how it played
sure.
out?
I just think that's great because you're dealing with Congress, of course.
Well, Mark, I thought you were going to announce that you were running for president.
I forgot to tell you, Larry had a sense of humor,
Mark.
Too.
The little veterans.
And you're asking for contributions, right?
That's fine.
Not from this show.
I've got to tell you, everybody in this room should give this a try. It is such an honor to stand up and compete for a position of leadership of fellow American citizens. The way it played out for me, I was practicing dentistry in the office, and a couple people from one of the parties came over, and in the 7th Congressional District, nobody was competing on one of the sides.
Okay.
The incumbent was Congressman Danny Davis,
sure.
And nobody was repeating as a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked if I would compete, and I was honored.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I talked it over with the people that were with me, and we decided in a split second, let's give it a try, and we'll present issues. And if we're not successful, we'll make the whole situation much better. We'll present ideas to the citizens. It was just a great experience. I had a good time.
That's great, getting out talking to the people. Yeah, that's a wonderful thing, that's for sure. One thing that we have a caller that's been holding. I want to. It might have been from before, but I want to make sure. Kofi, are you there? No, I think he's not there. I said he was going to talk about the civil rights speech that a previous caller was talking about. I'm sure.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, you are there. Okay, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. Go right ahead. Hey.
Yeah, I thank you for that, brother. Man, I ran for Senate as a write-in against Tammy Duckworth because I was healing people with herbs. You know, my father was a Vietnam vet.
Okay.
So this what the brother's doing, I commend you, man. And I want to know that bill because I use seaweed to clean out the blood, to take the diabetes away. Mm. I gave it over to 500 people, man. I did a case study. Now they're selling seaweed all over, Corella and spirulina. And then I clean out the parasites using walnut hull powder. You know, the walnut shell, you can grind it down to a powder, put it in a tea and drink it. It kills the parasites out of the body. This is the main problem of all of our health. So what he's talking about is major. You know, you go to a health food store, get some seaweed, get some spirulina, or you know, you can go to Christ Love page on Facebook. I promote it all the time. I'm healed. It keeps my body hydrated. It keeps my body illuminated, you know, away from all of the bad stuff that I'm putting in my body, you know, the food and all that. Mm-hmm. And that way it takes your diet down. You start craving natural foods. This is one of the things I've got for people. Like, wow, I'm eating more apples. I'm not eating chips. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
So what he's talking about, man, is major because we all are affected. 9 out of 10 people right now are affected with GMO foods, with bad water. I drink alkaline water at the health food store. I try to drink it all the time, you know. But we are affected not by just drugs or alcohol. It's the food that is affecting us.
Girlfriend,
so he's right on point, huh?
I thank you so much for your call. Thank
you. Yes,
sir.
Thank you, brother. Hey, let me know that bill. Promote that bill. I want to promote that bill, okay?
Yeah, the bill.
Give me that number again bill and where I can 90, reach you.
96.
HR 96.
Yeah,
when I hear a story like that,
yeah,
it makes me feel so
bad
good.
Water.
I am so confident that if we get the word out, we're going to be hearing stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
America is the land of freedom. People like this feel the freedom where they can do studies like this and mm-hmm. take mm-hmm. action. And sometimes we can get a good result. I'll never forget many years ago, over 40 years ago, when I was in the military, I was out in the field. I was a field artillery forward observer.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a notification from the admissions department at my dental school offering me to come in for an interview. And my interview was with Dr. Lewis Rose, a DDS and an MD. And Dr. Rose, 25 years later, came out with a definitive article on expounding upon what Larry's been talking about today, about how inflammation affects cardiac, low birth weight, diabetic conditions. He was not afraid to take risk, just like the gentleman that just called in was not afraid to take risk.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get this accomplished.
All right, see if we can get in one more caller. Mike, hi. You're on WVON, America's Heroes Group.
Oh, thank you, Cliff. Uh-huh. I got a question to the doctors.
Sure.
I have several friends. They got missing teeth. And about 10 years ago, I had several missing teeth. And the dentist told me, why don't you just get them all taken out, which I did. And my digestive health became better once I got dentures, and all the missing teeth were replaced by the dentures. And the doctors told me that the missing teeth was caught going into your veins and causing plaque to build up in your veins and could cause cancer. So I did the right. He said, well, I did the right thing. But I got friends today who don't want to go to the dentist, who don't want to get the missing teeth filled. How can you get somebody to do that certain thing? That's what I did. Yep.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Plaque, bacteria. Larry just made it very clear to us, and we all understand this, can cause problems throughout your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an issue that this gentleman just brought up, and why we're bringing this up for the veterans in the VA system. Sometimes it's very costly to get all your teeth taken out and to get dentures
sure.
made effectively.
Yeah.
Let's get it done in the VA system and give it to these kids that deserve it.
I want to thank both of you great doctors for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having me, too.
Absolutely.
And we can't wait to have more future shows with you guys because dental care is extremely important, especially for our veterans, because they have fought and earned to have dental care. Regarding any issues about affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. You have just watched us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you stay connected and you will receive future notifications regarding future shows, events, information, and resources regarding our veterans, armed